And now, a presentation on the Mental Health News Radio Network. The Outer Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show.
Ryan, that is a freaking awesome question.
You are the power, and you do not need anybody's permission.
He's the only guy that ever crawled out of a grave where people didn't go, oh, ah!
Don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride.
You're a great interviewer. You're one of the best.
If this is the best God can do, I am not impressed.
Welcome to the Out of Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show. OutofLimitsRadio.com. I'm your host, Ryan. Today on our show, we have Vivian Chavette. She is a advanced Arcturian hybrid, a multidimensional frequency healer, author, public speaker, transvoic. You can learn more about Vivian by going to her website at infinitehealingfromthestars.com. Vivian, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Ryan. It's great to be here.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think the first question people want to know is, what is an advanced Arcturian hybrid? First of all, what is an Arcturian hybrid and what is an advanced Arcturian hybrid?
Of course, great question. So let's start here. And to understand the word hybrid in its sense is that the word hybrid has been used in so many ways. But in my particular case, what I mean by that, I use the word hybrid as a point of reference that from a perspective of when you look at me in this human form, I am an Arcturian being that has come into a holographic body, human form, so I can be here with you, with everyone on the planet. So what I say advanced is that I am an aspect of my Arcturian avatar self. So that part of me is still back on in Arcturus in our realm, as I am also coexisting here at the same time in this human form. So there's different concept here when I say advanced hybrid. It's not just that some DNA added to my genetics. It's not, there's other predisposition that brought me here to the planet. If you understand who are the Arcturian, Ryan, you will understand that those very advanced already reached the level of ascension level master, intergalactic masters, they would not be able to be here in a physical form or physically on the planet at a level of a third density level of where we are. So there we have to find ways if we really want to come here and assist the ascension timeline. And so I volunteered on a soul level to be here. And I chose to have a more advanced level as a conduit to bring my Arcturian frequency in my state of consciousness so I can be here and do the work directly on the planet instead of interacting from our ships or from, you know, wherever we are. So this is why I chose that way. So the advanced part of it is just that it's not the regular or the understood hybrid part that we hear a lot about. That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. So what I'm saying is that we have the spirits. The spirits are infinite, you know, consciousness, and that spirit, infinite consciousness resides within the body. And I've been told many times, at least it comes to this basic understanding, that you have the higher self, and the higher self is the spirit, which incarnates multiple lifetimes in multiple physical forms. And I wonder, what is the comparable difference between the conscious level of an Arcturian of a compared to that of a human? Is there any comparable difference? Because is the spirit, when the spirit is not within the human body, when the spirit is not occupying the form, physical or non-physical, of that Arcturian, is that spirit any less evolved? Is that spirit in the totality of its optimal existence in the spirit, pure form, spirit form?
That's a beautiful, complex question, because you have to think the premise, or you're very welcome. The premise of it, Ryan, is to feel like, of course, we're all multidimensional beings. We are holograms of multidimensional beings. So, of course, ultimately, all of us, regardless of point of originations, whether it's angelic, star seeds, you know, hybrids, ultimately, we all come from the source and we are a fragment, an aspect of us, or our soul essence in the body. But to think about it, it's only 1% of that soul emanation from you, what we call a soul essence, that is in a physical form. Your other part is what we call your higher self or even your supreme self, you are in a pure form. And that's true for pretty much everyone. What I refer to here, Ryan, is that I am an Arcturian being who have chose to be inside of this form so I can have a conduit, a very advanced conduit, so I can do the level of work that I'm come to do. My work is more aligned with the future timeline in terms of where humanity is returning to. And to give you an example of this, one of the things that we want to really help people to return to eventually, consciously, is the complete sacred embodiment of their universal time matrix. And what it means is that we need to step out of the density of the third dimensional Earth personality matrix so we can ascend into a fifth dimensional, more, how could I say, soul matrix embodiment and template. So if you look at the evolution of DNA, the original body template, the return of the original human template, it's part of the evolution. So my role says, instead of projecting an aspect or a soul emanation aspect of myself into a human body, and with consciousness of who I am and being connected like more star seeds are, I did more than that. Is my body was genetically engineered by these very advanced beings called the Arcturians to allow myself to have a vessel, a body template, a vessel that is oscillating enough in the higher realms of high frequencies and be just functioning enough so I can be in this density all at the same time. So that requires a high level of mastery to be able to do that. That's an aspect of the difference here.
See, I wonder what is the, it seems like, okay, so you come into this reality, this physical life incarnation, knowing right away that you are an Arcturian, which is, to get everyone up to speed, it is another life form of being a species within the galaxy. So you come in there as an Arcturian, but then you also, as an Arcturian, you go undergo the human form. I'm curious, what is the comparable difference between a higher self, which occupies the human body and has a previous connection to a past life as an Arcturian, compared to what you are enduring, which is coming, having that higher self occupy the physical form of an Arcturian while at the same time occupying the physical form of a body, knowing that you're Arcturian within the human body. It seems like you've got another element of complexity. Is there any comparable difference between, again, the spirit that occupies a human, knowing full well that they've had a past life as an Arcturian, compared to you incarnating a current lifetime as an Arcturian, also as a human being?
You're bringing different concepts all overlap in once. First, the higher self is not in the body. What is in the body is an aspect of the higher self, which is very different. So if you look at even those who call themselves star seeds of connections, the Pleiadians, Syrians, Lyrans, and they remember that that's their point of soul group connections, it's only a fragment of their energy. It's a fragment of their consciousness that is in the body. Your higher self coexists in the perfect divine state. So your higher self is not in your body to begin with. That's number one. Number two, you mentioned about having a soul ancestry remembrance that maybe in a past life you were an Arcturian, a Lyran, a Syrians, or even from, you know, even more the celestial realms. There's a difference here because you may have brought with you at a soul level certain virtues, remembrance, qualities, activations of that soul ancestry. But nonetheless, your body, your physical body is attuned and made to be functioning in the density of this earth. You are not a being that comes directly in a ascendant form and you return into a lesser, denser form in order to help an entire planet to ascend. You have to feel the differences. It's very palpable. And so the level of how your reality, how you're going to be functioning in this field will be very different. And I encounter that a lot in my work. As I work, I do probably over hundreds of sessions per month with people from all over the world. And after time, people come to me, I am an Arcturian. I says, okay, let's define what it means in your reality. And there's a huge difference being a Pleiadian in a human form, an Arcturian in a human form, versus I have a soul ancestry of a remembrance of a connection.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're going into this. How can we tell the difference? Because I think this is when we were talking last week. Yes. I think I was curious. I was curious about that too. So I don't know if the way I go about things in this lifetime is because of my particular birth sign. I'm born in a very distinctive sign according to a couple of astrologers. But I don't know. I don't know if that's because I'm an Arcturian or because I'm just like, I'm a weird guy. I don't know. I have no idea.
Right. I mentioned when we connect initially, you talk about it. If you are an Arcturian star seed, you would know already by now. It would be crystal clear. Oh, yes.
You would would get the communication.
It will be part of who you are. It's a state of beingness. There's no logic to analyze. It's more of a state of beingness. Now, without being said, it is very likely, Ryan, like for in your case, that you have worked or you're working in collaboration with the consciousness of the Arcturians, which will make you more prone to them, more attracted, having a sense of familiarity, feeling like it's, you know, you may be part of the collective, which makes sense. And we see that in many, many star groups on the planet, there are those who are part of collaborating, what I call point of contact on the planet. If you're part of a star group, believe me, everyone I speak with knows at the core level, it's been probably since you were young. Oftentimes there's memories, there's energy that comes. There's a sense of understanding that is in your being, you know that it's a part of you. If you're questioning yourself, well, am I Arcturian? Am I Assyrian? Am I Pleiadian? Then beyond the mind, I was asked to your art and your higher self, help me understand what is my connection that is the most important for me in this lifetime. Because there's very different branches here. It's not all in one cut, copy, paste, fit all. It's very unique to say that you can be, for example, as I am an Arcturian, I work a lot with the Andromedan, for example. I know that I have a soul ancestry with the Andromedan. That means that prior to this incarnation, maybe thousands of years ago, I may have been an Andromedan at some point. And the level of kinship, what I brought with me is I brought that level of ancestry that can feel that I still feel it. But I'm clear, I'm not an Andromedan. I know I work with them. I have an affinity with them. That's very different here.
Okay. Well, I love that answer. It was actually a very complex answer to a complex question. You answered it beautifully. Yeah, well, some of this is, there was a gentleman, I'll never forget, a gentleman I remember hearing years ago, I forget, Alex Collier, and I forgot, and he was talking about his experience communicating with Andromedas, and I'll never forget this one quote he had. He said, "The love that you withhold is the pain that you carry." I love that quote so much. I've always thought about that. And when it comes to the Arcturians or any other beings that are out there, Quite frankly, I'd love to engage with more people. And I think people who listen to our show are very open to it because as far as the human body goes, as far as human civilization goes, I don't know. It's kind of weird and twisted. And to be honest, from the perspective of the higher self, if the higher self occupies an Arcturian or it occupies an Andromeda or it occupies another physical or non-physical life form in this galaxy or a civilization that's more advanced. I imagine it does that because it wants to experience life within that. But if human beings were to say, to go through this ascension, if they were to become something that they are not, would that in essence deprive higher selves, other higher selves, from not having the experience of living in a Neanderthal-based species like humans? Because I don't think humans are very advanced in any capacity. I mean, we have these technological tools, we can destroy ourselves, but I would never look at the human race as anything more than advanced. I look at it as very barbaric. But if the human race were to ascend, would that deprive other higher selves of having the experience of living in a Neanderthal type species as unique as humans?
The good news to that, Ryan, is that your higher self is already whole and complete and has no need to learn lessons or be a star being in order to achieve. Your higher self is the divine part of you. So if you look at the earth human beings as a species, what you see, it's more helping you to reverse the thought system of perceiving yourself as inferior, uninvolved, you know, with a lack of tools or understanding. This has been part of the programming that so many masters or advanced beings have returned to this earth to simply say, hey, look at us simply as a future model of who you are. You're simply forgotten a long time ago because of the descending into the egoic personality, lower mind matrix that we are stepping outside. This is why those wave of reawakening are so important. This is exactly why I give as many interviews as I can to bring the message out there, is to see that we see you as equal as we are, simply that we understand that you are a different state of evolution. If you look at any advanced enlightened star groups, like the Arcturians or like the core aspect of the Andromedans or the Lyrans, thousands and millions of years of history and evolution. Believe me, at some point, you know, there's been learning curve learned, there's been a level of evolution taking part. So I had a chance to communicate telepathically with the human being 400 years in the future. Your future. Geez,
what are they like? They look like you. They look like me. Oh my goodness! Now I'm sure there's a problem with the human population reproducing. Then,
no, the man I spoke with was wonderful. He was wonderful. But what the point I'm making here, Ryan, is that if this human being 400 years in your future timeline, which is we know coexists, it's a reality right now. Mm-hmm. There's no linear time to begin with. It was simply to tap into the potential of the advanced human consciousness in that 400 years span to simply realize how much humanity will have the capacity to shift and return to their own original divine blueprint, to return to the celestial body template that you were made to be. And this is where we are. It's important to live more and more in your heart and to start to ask different questions. You can have different answers and understand these answers from a point of higher knowledge, not all mixed up information. There's too much bombardment right now, whether it's the UFO field, the spiritual community, there's a bombardment of information, and that sometimes create more confusion. We said, go back to living by the essential. Get to know who you are. Discover your inner universe. This is what you need to be, not to be so distracted with everything going on around you, online, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah, it is.
Just bring yourself back.
It's right? Pretty crazy. And I'm glad that you've spoke with human beings from the future and that things are okay, because at this point in history, it is, I think it's completely sick. I'll just say it flat out. In my lifetime, I'm in my 40s, I feel like humanity has rapidly devolved, and you have this madness of the crowds that's only exacerbating, getting much worse. And the people that I've come across, beyond, I feel like I've come across some people that are very hungry, for knowledge. And those people that I come across, I don't come across many people like that, but I embrace them, and I'm always like, okay, like, let's explore. And for the life of me, I can't understand why more people don't want to do that. Because I'm like, what is so cool about online stuff? Like, you see people in person and you explore and you add more to your consciousness. It's wonderful. There's two things I want to bring to your attention. There was a gentleman named John Baines who wrote this book called The Stellar Man. And I believe he was talking to you about the optimal evolution for human beings, about expanding your consciousness and really kind of imploring more of your spirit within the body, and being able to receive more particular messages. From where you are seeing right now, when you communicate with this human being from the future, did you ever get any kind of sense of how humans actually got out of this mess? Because as of right now, I feel like this is the darkest period in human history. And I feel like it's going to get so much worse before it ever gets better, if it gets better, because the people who are outside of this madness, this global madness, I call it a global psychosis, I mean, we're looking around like we think the whole world's going crazy. So is there some kind of force that kind of comes in that joins the people who don't want to get wrapped up in the collective psychosis? Or does this collective psychosis, from your perspective, when you can feel, does this collapse upon itself? And once these, you know, people that are in part of the darkness get out of the gene pool, then a new tree rises that is pure total consciousness. I'm curious.
It's a good observation, Ryan, in a sense that right now it feels like everything feels so heavy, murky, blurry,
intense,
confusing. Yes, intense, very intense. And believe me, I feel it every day, even when I do my work. That's because one of the great things about it is that humanity has entered an era, a historical era like never before. And it is quite a privilege to witness an entire civilization giving such an opportunity to rise back to their original plan, to their original state of consciousness. Like never before, a planet that has fallen such in the density is given a chance to return to the light. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I have communicated with the realms of light in different ways. You have no idea. I mean, it's just the quantum field, the universal matrix is phenomenal, but the realms of light, it's the core essence of everything. And one thing I've been shown, I felt, I experienced, is ultimately there's only the light. Okay. And none of this will matter, none. So what is really important to concentrate on is first, consciously recognize that we are moving into historical changes, that we move shifting into a new era of consciousness. It means, Ryan, that the old ways of thinking, behaving on autopilot and going about obedience energies because tradition said so, no longer apply.
Good. Shifting, awesome.
Right?
Good.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. I don't like the old ways of doing things. You know, like on Earth, you celebrate Christmas once a year. We should celebrate Christmas like seven times a year. That's wonderful. Why can't we? I mean, I'm just as an example. I mean, I'm sick of these all the traditions. We should have some new traditions, new fun things. I mean, the old ones are pretty cool, but other things, you know, it should be a lot more.
But it's that. It's a good point. I love your energy. You said, why don't we have Christmas seven times a week?
Why not? I put Christmas lights up in my office, but when I had it in my old house, I was like, no, you can't have Christmas lights up 24/7. So I don't know.
But it's to re-identify, it's to see where those even so-called tradition even came from. What is the understanding behind it? It's just being a program of generation taught, teaching the next generation the same length. This is why everything seems to fall apart, because we're getting out of this old structure, this old density matrix reality, this old conscious way, instinctual, more primal energy. We're finally rising into a higher level, being able to heal your body, being able to communicate with each other, being able to feel each other's energy, understand each other, being able to live in harmony with our heart, who we are, getting our gifts back. This is where we're moving into. But that starts today, right here, right now. How consciously are you living?
Awesome. I think we should start right now. I just watched this interview. You familiar with Dr. Stephen Greer by chance?
I know of him.
Okay. Dr. Greer, I'm going to give you a long story short. He had a near-death experience, and his near-death experience is profound in ways that's very similar to some of the people we've had on the show. And he said, you know, all things come from one consciousness. And he was talking about why we haven't had a direct communication with extraterrestrial beings, why we haven't had this grand awakening. He said, well, if these beings suddenly appeared, one, you'd have a lot of people that would be worshiping them right away. And number two, you'd have the, you know, industrial complexes all try to get the world united in hatred against them and go to war with them and use that as a means of controlling people. So he's saying that the world's not particularly ready yet. I am thinking this. I, for the life of me, cannot understand why any extraterrestrial being or advanced civilization would want to do anything to help humanity. Because if I am from there and I see this beings, if you observe from afar, we have weapons that could eliminate the planet. We don't treat the planet good. We don't treat other people good. We're not even united as one planet. I think we're like a planet on a scale of planetary rating, like a zero. And I think we're like an existential threat to ourselves and other people. So I don't understand why any extraterrestrial type of beings or other beings would want to help us, want to just kind of push us aside and let us kind of implode upon ourselves. Because I can't imagine that every civilization out there, every species out there, is necessarily going to be constructive and peaceful. I mean, is there like a self-destructive part? Do they see something in our species that we don't see? Because I see it like we're completely self-destructive. We destroy ourselves and we're destructive to other people, other species.
Well, I appreciate your perspective. That's only very much one side of a very complex prism of light. It's a very narrow 3D, if I may say so, perspective of human beings. If you look what you carry within your genetics, your DNA, the gene pool of so many intergalactic beings is there, the potential that has been deactivated and put dormant for so long. And if you look at the true history of the Earth, I mean, even the time of Atlantis and Lemuria, you know that the human beings were a race of peaceful people, advance, living in harmony with Creator, living in harmony with life. If you have to think about where those weapons and those technologies so come from, what is the true source of it? What was it introduced to the Earth? For what purposes? That's what I'm saying. You have to start to ask yourself different questions and allowing different part of you asking those questions. So you need to get out of the lower programmed 3D mind that's more instinctual primal energy and ask, if I am part of the one mind, the singularity mind of the Creator of all there is, and I am, and I accept that I am a fractal, a holographic fractal of a multidimensional being. It's only a fractal of me being here in this human, earth human form. Then what else is possible? What else is there about me? And this is where we call it the reversal of thought system. Okay. And this is part of what we do right now. It's helping people to remember, to realign themselves so they can be, again, the embodiment of all that I am to your I am presence. And you start to understand much more to the equation. And it's like, I like to use my prism of light. We're not looking at you just from the base. We're looking at you. Yes, it's a beautiful one. Mm. We're looking at you from the multifaceted aspect that you really are. So again, what else there is about you? This is why it is important to live consciously every day. How you affect others, how you talk about yourself, how you affect your body's health, how you affect the environment. When you're in a store, how you can affect others, people, energy, everything. We need to come back to understand, hey, I am a divine aspect of light. And from that aspect, I chose to have another expression, it's called Arcturian, or I choose another expression called Sirian, or I chose an aspect called Earth Angel. And I've come here to anchor those frequencies of light to help this great reawakening. And ultimately, this is what it is about, a great reawakening.
Well, I'm down. I think it'd be wonderful to have a great reawakening as something wonderful hopefully should happen soon. I've been really have time for a few more questions, and I'll try to make these on the more simple side instead of like the 10-part question, maybe just a 7-part question. The first one is, what are the Arcturians like? I mean, visually speaking, what do they look like? Do they, what do they like to do for fun? How tall are they? I mean, what do we do if we're running to? Do they eat human beings, or do they? I don't know. What are they cool, or what are they like? I'm just curious.
You would love them. They're so very loving. They're great masters. I call them they're like Zen masters. They're really powerful. Yeah, really awesome. Here's the thing, Ryan. I will speak of them according to my experience and how I feel and how I see myself. What is really fun, a little fun fact, is that as of lately, as I am shifting more and more into the frequency of my Arcturian self, when I do activation, workshop, or lecture in public during conferences, it has come to my attention that more and more people who are awakening to their gifts are able to perceive my Arcturian self. And I'll tell you something fun. Just a few months ago, not many years ago, just a few months ago, I was in Sedona for a conference, and I was doing a sacred activation, the heart diamond activation with the Arcturians, the Lyrians, and the Pleiadians. We form a sacred triangle in a room. There was about 250 people in the room. And after the activation, I have people who I never met in my life came to me, says, Vivian, I'm a psychic, or I'm a medium, or I'm a medical intuitive. And during the activation, your body became translucent, and I could see you shifting into a 10 feet tall being. And I said, oh, you saw my Arcturian part of myself. So and awesome. This is becoming more attuned. That tells you how much people are shifting. So what do the Arcturians look like? To what we see when I go on board a ship, when I interact with my father, my delegations, we are overall very tall beings, tall and lanky. We're humanoid form. We have one head, a torso, arms, legs, okay, humanoid form. We're very tall. I'm about 10 feet tall. Father's about 12 feet tall. And then there's some variation. But usually we're very tall beings. And our eyes, we have no air whatsoever. No air. Okay, so
wait, you're not no hair? Eyes
no, we have no
yeah,
air.
Yeah, I'm losing my hair. That's why I was just. That's why I assumed I had that Arcturian connection. That's looks good. No,
it's just that's different. So that's something different we can talk about, but not that. But thank you. There's a grace about us when you're in the presence of an Arcturian. When you are truly in the presence of an Arcturian, you'll know it. You feel it. There's a grace. There's a presence that has no equal. There's no way to mistake us for any other beings out there, and especially not the grays. And only people who have fear of lower consciousness will say that. But you Arcturians are millions of years old, very advanced. It's working in a level of intelligence and cosmic level that is just transcending. Their eyes has so much depth to them, so much love. I feel like they carry the love of the creator in their eyes. It's spectacular.
Do they look like James Cameron's Avatar? Remember that James Cameron Avatar?
Oh, no. We're not cat people. We don't have pointed ears like that. We don't have hairs or features. No. No, I see what you mean, though. But no, we don't look like that. But it's just more than their look. It's the experience they emanate. It's the energy that they convey. They're such level of masters. They really are masters of what they do. And one of the things I love the most about them is that they're helping so many home worlds in different parts of the multiverse. We're like teachers and helpers and healers on wheels. We travel in our ship everywhere to help many other old worlds to evolve, ascend, healed, reach the next level of their soul evolution. And that is such a great, it brings so much joy to do that.
This is awesome. Where do you sign up to become to join? I mean, this is wonderful. Who the hell wants to sit in front of a desk all day and you know, do paperwork? This is fun. Can people sign up? Is there a way for people to connect with our journeys and say, hey, like, do they? All right, this is going to sound like a real stupid question. I'll say that. Sometimes,
that's a good question.
Well, wait. This thing is like in the U.S. They have this thing where they have student exchanges where you go and you hang out for a couple months and then they send someone and they hang out. Is there any way you can can people directly connect with Arcturians and say, hey, by the way, you know, I'd like to hang out. You know, can we learn from each other? How do you develop and start facilitating that relationship?
Yes, the answer is yes. How to do this? Mm-hmm. Self-esteem, trust in yourself, clear the baggage of the past, clear the limiting belief system, clear what really gets you in the way that gives you an impression, an illusionary impression of being lower than. And start living, truly living in the centeredness of your being to your heart. Because when you want to communicate with an advanced being such as an Arcturian, I'm telling you, Ryan, is that all part of you needs to be aligned because they're going to feel it. They see it. When you send a thought, say, hey, my intention is to connect, But my heart tells me I may not be good enough to do that. But that's what happens, is that it creates filters. You're no longer in the same frequency. You're no longer in the same vibrational field. The more you do the work, do spiritual work, meditate, breathe, heal the past, let go of attachments, you're opening your own micro tunnel of communication. Did you know that your nervous systems are like gateways of light that connects you to the multiverse? Yeah. So calming the nervous system, being able to be attuned and reach the level of inner peace with yourself, not the world, yourself, your inner universe.
Okay.
I work with people from different cultures, and sometimes one belief system stands in the way. I've been working with this beautiful woman from India, and she was taught as a child that she has too many hair, her hair is too thick, too long, too beautiful, and she should be ashamed. And that has been creating so much barrier for her. And we're working with her to liberate, reverse that thought system, heal and reconcile that aspect. And the doors are opening. It's phenomenal how much she's blossoming. That will give her an opportunity to communicate much more easier. That's just an example of this.
Okay. From the human being perspective, let's say basic human perspective, can in religions or places of worship, there's usually a deity or a visual that people put on, and they focus their energy on that. And they say, okay, I will commit my energy to this particular being, and this is a visualization of that. If people want to communicate with our trance, it's safe, for example, because we're hardwired as human beings to do this, because a lot of us, I think, who are out here, some of us grew up, I mean, I came from organized religion, but is there a visual that people can focus their time energy on? And on top of that, I'm going to hold that for the first question. Is there a particular frequency that we can listen to? Because I love listening to these, these chakra meditations, or these, I like listening to a delta, or something that's really low, or something that's got this very beautiful beat to it, and kind of a line to it. I love doing that. I feel like when I do that, it kind of syncs me up. So I'm wondering, is there a visualization we can see to connect with the Arcturians? And is there a certain frequency of sound that we can listen to, focus our energy on in order to become aligned, as opposed to just starting from nothing and trying to, shoot and hopefully hit the target?
It's a great question. I like the visuals you're providing. You're absolutely, Ryan. If you need a visual, sometimes people use the Merkaba, on the sacred dimensional vehicle of light. You can visualize yourself entering into a Merkaba of light, and within the Merkaba, to feel that you're healing, releasing 3D attachments, worries, mental thoughts, to feel that you simply listen to the song of your heart. And then from there, in the Merkaba of light, it brings you more into a fifth dimensional alignment. And so now I have a desire to communicate or connect to an Arcturian being or an Andromedan or my angelic beings. And really to feel it is ultimately you need to come back to the heart. I know that one technique I like to use all the time for clients, it's a technique I learned from the Heart Math Institute of California when I became a coach with them. Mm-hmm. And it's called the Heart Focused Breathing Technique, which is also build resilience, clear the mind, being able to bring yourself more into groundness. And it's really about, in a simple words, very shortly, it's imagining that you are redirecting the flow of your breath to your heart center to open the torus field of your heart. And then you breathe in light to your heart, and you exhaling to your heart, expanding the light to this beautiful torus field or the energetic field of your heart. And you stay in that energy to be able to clear omnipresence of stress, mental anxiety, feeling scattered, feeling ungrounded, whatever's going on. By using this technique, it has helped many, many of my clients to have something tangible to work from. And what happened is that over time, with practice and dedication, you're going to be able to stabilize your own vibrational feel, how much you are, at what level are you your frequencies are. Are you all over the place? Are you still in your mind so much busy in the mental field that your stomach hurts because you can't longer digest those energies? It helps to redirect that focal point. And I personally like Theta state. So if you want to listen to frequency, okay. Theta, it's a beautiful, it's the state of the lucid dreaming.
Okay.
It doesn't mean you have to fall asleep and dream. It's just telling you that Theta state opens up so much, and I can feel even the activation of the neural pathways. The Theta state is the state I use in acoustic sound when I do healing on people, especially in person. I will put the acoustic Theta sound on, and what happens, it calms the mind and the body like there's no tomorrow, and it helps it facilitate the client to get their out of body, get in touch with their higher self, being able to feel the presence of the Arcturians. It opens up doors. So this is why personally I really like Theta state.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. And I have one of my most beloved friends, she uses a lot of crystals, and I saw they had quartz. So are there any types of crystals or stones that people should also utilize in order to help themselves become an alignment? Are there any particular oils? I like to take lavender oil and put it over my third eye. I like to put it behind my ears as well.
Yes.
So I don't know if there are any other particular oils or stones that you recommend that would be helpful for this process.
Great question. Absolutely. I personally use a rose oil that I put around my heart center. I love rose oil. I also love amethyst, beautiful amethyst stone. Citrine is a powerful healer. It's also a really powerful, it's a stone that really generates lots of energy. So I like that. Labradorite, it's called the Merlin stone. It's a very enlightened stone. I always have labradorite everywhere. You can see the big piece right behind me on my desk, the pointed one. Mm-hmm. That's a big labradorite piece. So amethyst, labradorite. I love citrine. Well, I'll tell you. Communicating, clear quartz, the purest you can get.
That's, I love that one. And then also, are there any particular colors that you utilize? I love the color blue. I'm kind of obsessed with the color blue. Is that have any kind of frequency, or is there any other, are there any type of colors that you surround yourself with that have a good frequency that connects to the Arcturians?
Absolutely. So that tells me you're already attuned without you realizing it. The color blue, or the rays, the blue ray, it's a powerful color frequency that many star group utilize. Arcturians, when they open their portals, and believe me, they do that all the time in my house, it's going to be either a deep royal blue, sometimes it's going to be a little bit of gold energy to it, or even has some purple, high level of purple or violet color, they will come. So the blue energies, it's a very powerful frequency. It is also associated with the first ray of creation to the sacred blue sapphire flame. So it's a very high, it's a high color frequency. I use it a lot myself too.
Awesome. This is wonderful. So I think you provided so much information on how we can directly communicate. And maybe I'll just have one or more questions. Is there anything about the Arcturians that kind of drive you crazy? Do they ever come up and show up at the wrong times and, you know, just bother you and say, listen, I'm doing your work, but can you give me a break? Is there anything about them that...
That's brilliant. Never, never was I asked this question.
Okay.
It's so refreshing. I mean, I love
talking. I'm just curious, you know, Are they driving, you know, they're all like, oh, you know, we're here to protect the earth. It's like, well, you know, how about, you know, I'm in the middle of watching my TV series, you know, how about let me watch it and then, you know, we'll do the enlightenment later, you know? I don't need this 24/7. I'm just curious, you know? I can't imagine that all beings all the time are perfect. I know for a fact that I've been known, you know, to drive one or two people a little nuts.
You're amazing. Let me tell you. And that's... I'm going to illustrate another difference in terms of what I mean by I'm a Arcturian being. They are my people. This is my core essence. I am much more comfortable within the Arcturian energy and culture than I am here on Earth among humans. And of course, you know, I eat chocolate. I go out. I like movies. I eat popcorn. I've learned to adapt at how to live here. But what nurture my soul, it nurture my being. It makes me happy and joyful is when I'm around my people. So for me, it's the other way around. Is, hey, you're not enough around me. Where are you?
That's awesome. That's awesome. You got to find your people. And, you know, I can tell you this, Vivian, people who listen to our show, I mean, we're all kind of, you know, looking for our people because we see the world going nuts. I'm like, where are our people? Because if you find someone on earth and you talk to them and, you know, you have a conversation with them, say, hey, by the way, I am pro-peace and I don't want to harm anyone else. It's like, wow, you know, it's just incredible because there's nothing going on.
Yes.
But, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. I loved your answers. They were rich, they were beautiful, and the frequency was beautiful. You can learn more about Vivian by going to her website at infinitehealingfromthestars.com. On there, she's got a podcast, she's got several events, some wonderful videos. You can do sessions with Vivian and hopefully connect with her too. Especially if you're in Arcturian, you got to connect with Vivian because, again, you know, you make her very happy when you're in Arcturian, you connect with her. So, Vivian, thank you so much for being with us.
Ryan, thank you. It's absolutely a pleasure. You are amazing. I love your energy.
You
as
too.
Well.
Too. Okay, everyone, that concludes today's edition of the Out of Limits of Inner Truth Radio Show. Special thanks to our unbelievable guest, and special thanks, as always, to our virtues, Miss Carrie O'Connor, Miss Constance Dallas, and our associate producer, Jenny Lamisa. To learn more about the Out of Limits of Inner Truth, please go to our website at outoflimitsradio.com. And till the next time we meet, my friends, I wish upon you an abundance of peace, love, and beers. Yay! Take good care, and thank you so much for listening.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.